Thursday, Bloody Thursday at AOPA. The aviation industry welcomes back the government, and the EU revises its emissions tax. This is Aero News for Friday, October 18, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Our lead story was breaking as Aero News went to its production deadline late Thursday, so be sure to check our website, www.aero-news.net, for the latest details. On the heels of what many called a truly lackluster final AOPA summit, the axe has fallen at 421 Aviation Way, and the result is that at least a dozen AOPA staffers, many high-ranking VPs and what were thought to be critical personnel, have been shown the door. With little or no warning, Mark Baker's new AOPA has decided to clean house, and in the process, some very experienced and highly regarded staffers are now looking for work. We're awaiting the AOPA spin on this, of course, but a number of local sources at KFDK have confirmed that along with some heretofore pivotal players, also cut are a number of highly publicized programs and divisions at AOPA, most critically, AOPA's Center to Advance the Pilot Community, or CAPCOM, and rumors that some of their more controversial decisions may be reversed, including a possible death sentence for AOPA's poorly received FlyQ flight planning program, as well as a few other projects that have not been pulling their weight. Inside sources indicate that Baker was told to cut the fat by the Board of Trustees, and as an experienced CEO who has had to take on such unsavory tasks in the past, he apparently is wasting little time. With members of Congress finally agreeing to a continuing resolution that will at least suspend the partial government shutdown and allow the debt ceiling to rise, national aviation advocacy groups say the news is welcome, but that it may be some time before things return to normal. As the agreement was being finalized, NBAA President and CEO Ed Boland spoke directly with FAA Administrator Michael Huerta. NBAA has consistently raised alarm with Washington policymakers that the government shutdown has halted many vital services provided by the agency, greatly harming the aviation community. Specifically, the situation led to the closure of the FAA's U.S. aircraft registry, bringing to a stop the purchase, sale, import, export, or maintenance of all aircraft. In a statement released to the media, Boland cautioned, quote, "While the agreement reached does reopen the government, it may be some time before services at the FAA and other agencies are fully restored to pre-shutdown effectiveness. But we welcome this agreement for ending the shutdown, because it brings a resolution to an untenable situation." End quote. NATA and GAMA also released cautiously optimistic statements welcoming the resumption of the government. The European Union has proposed a modified version of its widely panned emissions trading scheme that would have charged all airlines, regardless of country of registry, for emissions during the full duration of their flights. The latest proposal would charge airlines using any airport in an EU member state for emissions expelled only during the portions of flight conducted in European airspace. Reuters reports that EU Climate Commissioner Connie Hedegaard said that the EU is well within its rights to regulate such emissions. But the proposal drew fire from international aviation groups such as the IATA and Airlines for America, which say that the proposal threatens the fragile agreement passed during the recent ICAO meeting in Montreal last month. Unless the new proposal is adopted ahead of upcoming parliamentary elections and changeover next year, the suspended existing law charging airlines for the full duration of their flights would go back into effect. Raisbeck Aviation High School, in collaboration with the Museum of Flight and Highline Public Schools, celebrated the grand opening of its new campus on the grounds of the Museum of Flight. To kick off the event, a specially themed Alaska Airlines 737-900ER, dubbed Spirit of Education, delivered students and guests to the Museum of Flight, where they were greeted by classmates, parents, industry partners, and elected officials. Joining students on the flight was internationally acclaimed engineer James Raisbeck, for whom the school is named. Founded and operated by Highline Public Schools as an innovative math and science-focused college preparatory high school, Raisbeck Aviation High School accepts students from across the Puget Sound region. the only high school originally selected as a model for Washington's STEM Lighthouse Program Aviation High School, now Raisbeck Aviation High School, has already established itself as a statewide leader in science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM, education. With the opening of its new facility at the Museum of Flight, RAHS is now the only aviation-themed college preparatory school in the country to share resources with an aerospace museum. Alaos Airlines ATR-72-600 turboprop airliner has gone down in the Mekong Delta in southern Laos, resulting in the fatal injury of all 49 people, 44 passengers and 5 crew who were on board the aircraft. The Laos authorities will lead the investigation and will remain the official source of information. When Aero News continues, that's one big space rock. Going to the moon without NASA? And just in time for Halloween.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Friday, October 18th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A piece of the meteorite that exploded over Russia in February, weighing over 1,255 pounds, has been recovered from Lake Chebarkal. The 5-foot-long piece of the meteorite was pulled from the lake by divers who wrapped it in a special covering while it was still underwater and then dragged it to shore. BBC reports, however, that the rock broke into 3 large pieces as scientists attempted to weigh it on shore. The scale even broke as the weight of the pieces topped 1,255 pounds. The chunk of the meteorite gouged an 18-foot-wide hole in the ice of the lake when it impacted the surface on February 15th. The piece of the meteorite was in about 40 feet of water. Since the incident in February, divers have reportedly recovered 4 or 5 pieces of the meteorite from that lake, according to the Russian news channel Vesti 24. A private group founded by entrepreneur Joel Ammons says that it doesn't just want to send humans back to the moon, but, quote, "we want to go and then keep going again and again and again," end quote. Sounds a little bit like the Energizer Bunny. The company is Rima Marius, which says in its website that it is named for the region of the moon that is its objective. The company says it was formed as a for-profit entity, quote, "focused on developing both technically and financially sustainable systems that will not only provide for an initial exploration of the Marius Hills region, but a continuing comprehensive exploration program," end quote. Rima Marius says the project is vast in its scope, allowing for the use of both existing and near-term technologies to ensure success. Such technologies as 3D printing already exist and will be used for the construction of a moon habitat. Several trips will have to be performed to establish the project on the lunar surface and make ready for the crewed follow-up mission that would last 75 days and cost $2.5 billion. This next story just begs for a musical bed background like Ghostbusters or maybe Thriller, and parental discretion is probably advised. It is one of the true tragedies of the U.S. space program. On January 27, 1967, astronauts Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee died in a fire aboard the Apollo 1 capsule at Launch Complex 34 at Cape Canaveral. The Huffington Post reports that the site, which has since been abandoned by NASA, but which is on the tour of the Kennedy Space Center, is thought to be, that's right, haunted, perhaps by the spirits of the 3 astronauts. Some NASA employees who have visited the site after dark say they have heard screams at the site, as well as an overall dark feeling near the pad. Locals say that NASA, for a time, stopped allowing visitors on the site due to, quote-unquote, strange occurrences. Apollo 1 was to have been the first manned flight of the Apollo program, The fire uncovered serious design flaws in the Apollo capsule that were corrected before the first manned flight took place some 20 months after the fire. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks so much for listening. You're now clear for departure.